بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد سورة العاديات. In Canada there's a mall, the biggest mall in the world. I think there's big ones now. It's in Edmonton. Anybody ever been to that mall? West Edmonton Mall. Okay, in this mall they have, you know, a gigantic swimming pool. They have an ice rink. They have roller coasters. You know, it's a very, very large mall. So we had there was a conference there in Edmonton. It was my first time being in Edmonton. And at the conference, I said, look, I have to go to the mall and I have to go on the roller coaster. And this roller coaster was well known because two people had died on this roller coaster. You know, and in Canada, nobody dies. They get old and then they're, you know, senior citizens and so on. So they actually died in this. And, you know, all the warnings on the, you know, we're not responsible for your death at the beginning of the roller coaster. So we went to the mall and we went like directly to the roller coaster. And I said, look, I'm older now. I want to try this roller coaster. And subhanAllah, as soon as you come closer to the roller coaster, you start hearing the panting of the roller coaster. And it's actually a scream. It's not a panting. The roller coaster has a scream to it that will make you frightened. Just from the sound of the roller coaster. And then when I was listening to that screaming of the roller coaster, in my mind, I thought of Surah Al-Adiyat. Surah Al-Adiyat. Did anybody know, or how many people knew before that it was speaking about horses? If you knew before.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسقن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير.
إن السورة like we saw in the Meccan surahs, it begins with the testification, like other surahs. Here though is something interesting because it's not a celestial object that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with, but He begins with Al-Adiyat. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies by these horses. And if you'll see even on the picture here, these horses, these are wild horses. But Al-Adiyat are not wild horses, they are war horses, or stallions of war. And I don't think we've actually gotten the chance to see war horses in our life. I don't think we've seen it. You may see a police officer walking on a horse. There's no way that that's a war horse. Right? That's a retired, you know, needs bispectacles and stuff, glasses, horses. But war horses, they have a special intensity to them. And if you do get the chance to see a war horse, realize that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies by. And we said that makes that thing special. And it's mu'azzam shara'an, which means that it's special in the sight of the sharia. The next four verses after that, 2, 3, 4, and 5, are characteristics of those horses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes them. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ. We'll explain inshaAllah. Number one, and this is because of the, if you remember back when we said about the word mirsad, an ambush, and we said that these people were people that fought in wars, correct? And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this language of war, that it also is, or it is something that they understood very well. Even though we said that us living in a city, we don't understand these things, or we haven't seen them, but they knew them very well, and they also held it very high. And I think even when we start speaking about the horses, if you go to any youth group or anybody speaks, as soon as you see a picture of those horses, you immediately feel love for them. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves also. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ. And if you see in the brackets, it says the steeds that run. The adiyat are the ones that charge. The charging. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ. ضَبْحَ is the panting of the horse. And it's the sounds. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that it's the sound of its breathing. It goes, ah, ah. That this is the ضَبْحَ of the horse. So it's charging and it's making the sound through, making its charging pant. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ. The قَدْح is the when it hits the ground and it's running like that and it creates a spark on the ground. So it's the striking of the sparks. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ. So it begins from the panting and the charging to the striking of its hooves on the ground. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَ. مُغِيرَات are the raiding. مُغِيرَات are the raiding horses. If you remember in the seerah, there's a companion by the name of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, right? Radiallahu anhu. And remember I said when we made our profile and we said that the person's name was Abu Kalb, and some of you were smiling, Mughira was a war horse. And they named their son after that. Actually not a war horse, a raiding horse. When they would raid, these are the horses that they would be riding into a village to kill the people or whatnot. This was the horse that they would use for the raiding. And it was called Al-Mughira. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَ. And they would charge in the mornings. And we mentioned that when we were speaking about Surah Lahab, when the Prophet ﷺ got up and he said, wa sabaha, what was their custom, is because when they would raid in the morning time. They would raid in the morning. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَ. The Prophet ﷺ, and actually in verse 4 and 5, as you can see, it's almost as if it's coming closer and closer. فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا. That it raised the dust clouds while it's running. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا. وَسَطْنَا, wasat is the middle, bihi jama'a, meaning it runs right into the middle of the enemy, or right into the middle of the fray, in the midst of the foe, as it says there. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ jama'a, and as the person is contemplating that testification, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 6, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُونَ, that indeed mankind to his Lord is ungrateful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning these horses, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the horses have goodness wrapped in its reins until the day of judgment. And that was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. And so we see their blessedness from the Quran and also from the Sunnah. And now in this testification, this is not only testification for the horse, there's obviously someone who's riding the horse. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thinking highly, and this is not the war horse that's running into a tyrannical mission. This is like a mujahid horse. A horse that's doing this in the justice, in raising the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So it's also a testification for the person who's riding the horse. If this is the horse, and it's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what then of the person who's riding the horse? And those are the mujahideen. And so, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the opportunity to go for jihad, or if there were people who are in jihad, these would be of the most beloved verses to them. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is about the subh and them raiding, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to attack a people, and there would be certain tribes, they would wait on the outskirts of the village until Fajr time, when the sun would come up. If they heard the adhan for Fajr, they would abort their mission. And if they did not hear the adhan for Fajr, meaning if the people did not get up for Fajr, they would consider them not Muslim, and they would attack. And this is well known from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, which tells us something very serious about Fajr time. That in the past, that if the community did not wake up for Fajr, they were not considered Muslim. And they would be susceptible to the attack and the raid that would happen thereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. There was once a brother, we were sitting around in a gathering, and you know, the person, the emir of that gathering, was requesting everybody to recite an ayah or a surah of the Quran. So one of the brothers said, "Do I have to recite a whole surah?" And he said, "You can recite whatever you want." And so when it came his turn, he recited this one verse. He said, "Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud." Verse 6, that indeed man is to his Lord ungrateful. And he said that I've taken this as a model in my life, that indeed we're truly ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we said, the themes of wealth, you'll also see the themes of ungratefulness to Allah azza wa jalla. And this is actually the core meaning of the word kafir, is to be ungrateful. Is to be ungrateful to Allah azza wa jalla. So the testification comes, the qasam is wal adiyat, is the horses, and then the description of it, and the muqsam alayh, what is being testified to, is that human beings are ungrateful to their Lord. Qasam is the horses, muqsam alayh, what is being testified to, is that the human beings are ungrateful to their Lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about that ungratefulness. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, that human being testifies to that with their own deeds. Everything that they do in life is a manifestation of their ungratefulness to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, and that human being, that not only are they ungrateful, but they love so much the gifts that Allah gives them, that they want it so much. And they want more and more and more of what Allah is giving them, but still they're ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here in this verse, you'll say, لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ, حُبِّ is love, الْخَيْرِ, which could normally be translated as goodness. لَشَدِيدٌ is intense. The word خَيْر here doesn't mean goodness. If you say to someone, كِفْ حَالَكْ بِخَيْرِ, you know, like, how are you? Are you good? بِخَيْرِ. This is an example of why someone cannot speak about the Qur'an just, you know, they've gone overseas, they learned Arabic, and then now they want to come and do tafsir. They'll look at this, that, oh, he loves the khair, even though he's an ungrateful, wretched person. Because it doesn't mean that. And a person has to have knowledge behind it to understand that they just can't take the Arabic language and then say that they can comment on the Qur'an. And much more than that is people who don't even know the Arabic language and think they can make fiqh rulings from Yusuf Ali's translation. Or something like that. Like, how far and how misguided could someone like that be? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this lakanud, this ungratefulness, and this love of wealth and collecting coins of gold and loving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him, that this person, he loves it so much, even if it may cost him the hereafter. He doesn't really care about that. Because he's so infatuated with this love for collecting coins of gold. And I actually thought about, when I was contemplating this, Shaytan. Shaytan, or the devil, he knows what's waiting for him in the hereafter. Correct? He knows hellfire. And he knows paradise. But still he chose the life that he's living of misguiding Bani Adam. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me live till the end of time, you know, never die. And he knows hellfire. But still he chose this path. And I kept thinking that how wretched the shaitan is, that he knows that there's immortality in hellfire, but still he chooses this path. Now a human being, take it then, how could a human being ever, if they really truly understood hellfire, how could they ever take that path of saying that I'll just have fun in these 20, 30 years that I have on earth, and that's if they have those years, and then I'm willing to go to hellfire for as long, you know, forever and ever. And inshallah we're going to be seeing in the surahs to come more descriptions about hellfire and paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is, the warnings are coming again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the warning, and as long as a person's alive, they still have the chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is where we ask the brother to peel the orange, inshallah. Okay, he's peeling it up. Okay, when I asked for like a purse or something, and I actually wanted a purse because I know the purses are full of lots of different things. And a person immediately, like, I can't give him my purse because I have private things in it, correct? Since it has private things in the purse, they can't let it be dumped out. If you look at verse number 9,
أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, doesn't he know? يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ. If when بُعْثِرَ means to be dumped out, it says there, when the contents of the graves are poured forth. Meaning that when everybody's dead in the graves, when you have like a nice purse, it's okay, it looks pretty and whatnot, you're carrying it. Even though if someone like had an x-ray, could see inside the purse, they go, wow, that's a really disorganized person there. And there may be like powder and, you know, things all dirtying the inside of the purse, correct? But the outside looks nice. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, we go through life like this. We're protected. Nobody knows our faults and our mistakes. Nobody knows what's inside our purse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Our purses will be dumped out. Our purses will be dumped out. The people will come back, حُفَاتًا. They'll come back on the Day of Judgment. And everything will be exposed. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. When everything in the graves will be poured out and dumped out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَحُصِّلَ, in verse 10, حُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. The brother finished peeling the orange. Can you raise it? Did anybody know what that orange looked like before we opened it up? This specific orange. You may have had ideas from other things, but you didn't see it, right? He's giving you the example. حُصِّلَ means إِخْرَاجُ الْمَسْتُورِ, meaning something was hidden and then it becomes open like the peeling of an orange. You can't see the inside until it's peeled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying on the Day of Judgment, we're covering all our actions and intentions now, but on the Day of Judgment, all of that will be peeled forth and everybody will see what we did. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And what is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that which was in the chest, the intentions, and everything that the person did will be open for everyone to see. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمْ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. That their Lord, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ, their Lord, بِهِمْ, with them, يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, is لَخَبِيرٌ, knows very well. And this day, the Day of Judgment, is a day that every person has to prepare for properly. And like we said about the graves being poured out, and the inner intentions of a person being exposed to everyone, that's just a little glimpse of the kind of horror that will happen on this day.